Richard is our guest speaker. Richard is one of the town board councillors, and Ken's also here, the other town board councillor, so you want a Bill and Ben act, you've got them both. He's also deputy leader of the council and responsible for the council's finances. So he's given up his time. I mean, Richard works in Winchester normally, so he's given up his time to come and be with us today. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Hi, everybody. I think David's being very generous when he says it's the people on holiday. I think it's because they knew I was speaking, so there we go. Anyway, Ken's here, so if you've got any difficult questions, just feel them to Ken. That would be lovely. Obviously, what I thought I'd do was just sort of kind of walk around the town, really, in a way, because there's a lot been going on in Camberley, a little bit historical, but mainly future. Finally produced the Atrium development, which I think has been a great success. The View Cinema there has been amazing. The numbers are superb, and that whole part of it has been great. Yes, we would like to see more of the retail shops along Park Street occupied, but they have a very definite policy of not just having, you know, cheap lets, charity shops. It's got to be quality shopping. So that's meaning it's taking longer to fill. But it's gradually happening. I think you will have seen within the Mall, TK Maxx are now coming in there this year. So again, you know, the odd one goes and other ones come in, and there's a general improvement going on. I mean, on that front, we started up a community interest company quite a while ago, which was really good because it enabled us to talk to wonderful societies like the Camberley Society, for example. David, thank you. And that was really good because we all sort of worked together. And I think often within towns, you know, that councils can be seen as something you can't get hold of, you can't get through to the right people, and you don't know what's going on. We certainly are trying to improve that situation. And that's now morphed, if you like, into The Bid and a further company, which it is putting on good events in the town centre and, again, trying to get people involved and listening to what everybody wants. So that's something that's very positive. It's paid for by everybody in the town from a business point of view, who pays a little bit more on their rates. So it's in everybody's interest who's operating the town to make that work. Moving on from that, but our number one priority is the London roadblock. The London roadblock, as you know, as you drive past Camberley down the A30, you wonder what's behind that shanty town. And that is something that's been on our radar for many years. In fact, we've probably been working on this for about 5 or 6 years. The idea is there will be a new department store, there'll be new improved shops, both as that entrance to the Mall, there'll be new car parking, etc. Car parking is one of those wonderful topics in Camberley. I'm not going to talk about it. Moving on, another area that's very important to us is the theatre next door, which there's many people who are members of the theatre, friends of the theatre, as it were. That's an area that, because of the size of it, it's very difficult to make it work financially, so it always has to be subsidised. Having said that, we've just taken on a new head of our business side, who was one of the guys responsible for delivering the Olympics. He's really go ahead, and he's got some exciting ideas for how we improve what's going on with the theatre and the Ian Goodchild Centre. So that will come forward in the next few months. The Ian Goodchild Centre is being used from the community point of view in lots of different ways. I was actually invited to a big Sikh celebration there the other Sunday, where there are about 200 odd people there. And they have used it quite a lot. So it's all elements of our community that can benefit from that building. And that will, going forward, is what we intend to do. There's another thing that's going on around the corner here with the police station for sale. There is a buyer on that, most likely, although it was put on hold by the new police commissioner. I think that will probably roll forward, and that should be quality housing. I think that's what's going to go there. The police, one of the things we've been doing within the borough is to try and, with Surrey Heath House, to maximise the usage of that building. So we've now got the police in there, we've got the clinical commissioning group in there, we've got various departments of county council in there to try and keep the costs as sensible as possible. And also you get a synergy from the way that all works together. because obviously if the police are there and we've got our environmental team or our social people, it just all helps dramatically. So those are the general outline of priorities that we're doing at the moment. It's quite a big agenda, there's quite a lot going on, but it's also quite exciting, and I think Cambly will benefit from it, and all of us will as well. So I think if anybody's got any questions, that's a good thing to do now. Please. David. Oh, no. Bob.
Have you got any plans for improving the CAB hut?
The CAB hut. Well, obviously, it's a glorious porter cabin. CAB are doing a fabulous job at the moment because they're obviously under pressure because of all the financial pressures that people are feeling. And there's a constant dialogue going on there. I think in the long term, the idea is they won't be in a hut. But we have to work that through. Obviously, with certain developments, they can help with enabling works for other things to happen with 106 or SIL, as it's now called, the community infrastructure level. There's lots of things, lots of ways, as our planning expert at the back there will tell me, that we can actually utilise to help promote local facilities for the community. So that is something we're also mindful of.
I don't want to grind axes.
You don't want to what?
To grind axes, which of course
is... Yes. Good. Okay, Ken. Go on, Dave.
You didn't mention pedestrianising the high street.
No, the pedestrianisation of the high street, the closing the high street certain nights, which was the police were very much wanting us to do because of the dispersement of people when they fall out of the clubs, has worked really well. Because they're no longer just channeled down the pavements, and where obviously if people have had one or two too many, they bump into each other and there can be problems, they can now disperse, the taxis are at the other end, and that works really well. That part of closing it, so I know you asked about pedestrianisation, the pedestrianisation is still being discussed as to how or where that will happen, because the problem is you still have to service all the shops, because there's no good pedestrianising something and just making it impossible for shops to function and also to take away their trade. So that's an ongoing discussion. It's not finalised yet.
But I'm going to grind an axe because it's been mooted for decades. The Borough Council in its 2000 plan said that it was going to turn the high street into a pedestrian-friendly environment. It should either happen or policies should be reversed.
I think you'll find that it's... still being debated because the whole bigger picture of the town has to be looked at, not just one element of it, and that there are different requirements for different types of development. The flow of people around the town is very important to us. There has to be reasons for people to go to each corner of the town to try and make all those shops as vibrant as possible. So that's another element to how we're trying to do that. You've had long enough. Ken.
Intend actually that pedestrianising the high street will revitalise the shops in the high street.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've talked before David on behalf of the Cambridge Society more than two decades ago about the high street being pedestrianised, and it's funny, but exactly the same. Arguments against it come up year after year after year. It, at one time, it was because of the old Hoover shop. That has been empty for years.
Yes.
Just get on with it.
Yes. I'm very pleased you're going to donate enough money to do it, Bob. That's very kind of you, because there is a simple matter of finance as well, which also has to be put in place. But no, I hear what you're saying. Thank you.
Let's change the subject. Sorry.
Oh, well done.
You mentioned finance, and obviously that's something about banks. But yeah. I'm guessing you appreciate the third sector in Cambly, the voluntary sector, what they can do to engage with your services and provide them lower costs.
I think the voluntary sector in Cambly is amazing. There's so many different charitable organisations and people get involved for all sorts of reasons. And there's small ones, big ones, new ones that come up for specific personal reasons, etc. And I think, yeah, we do try and engage with those people because obviously they are a very valuable resource. There always has to be a balance, however, because you know, it's very easy for people to say, well, oh, you just want to get involved with us because it's cheap labour or something. No, there is a very good reason for those people to have their voices heard. And we do have meetings where they're invited and we can actually try and work together on things. The other thing I'd say to you there is that nobody particularly likes change. We've had to do an awful lot of change at the council, and people have to be open to change and able to have a dialogue about it and not just say, oh, we're not doing that because we don't like it. We've always done it like this. And I think, you know, I would just urge all voluntary sector people, whether they're in our buildings or not, to actually be open to a dialogue, because we're all having to try and do more with less, you know, and that's an ongoing thing, unfortunately. So, okay, thank you. Ken.
Ken keeps on. Yes. Well, I think it would be of interest to us all, because it is such an important subject, the A30 frontage, which, like many other things, has been discussed for a long, long time. What is happening about the ownership of the properties involved? Because somebody must have some power over the ownership to get the developments in there that we want.
I mean, what will happen is there has already been some purchasing of different properties. Obviously, the stakeholders are the Mall, ourselves, or the companies that own the Mall, and a department store. So there is obviously those that have already bought certain properties. There's those that have said, we don't want to sell. There's those that are very happy with what they've got. We have to look at the whole picture, and from that point of view, compulsory purchase powers can be used if it's for the greater good of the people in the town and the borough. So I think that's a route we would have to go down if people can't be, you know, in normal discussion, persuaded that's good. And then that might mean helping somebody to, say, locate somewhere else. All sorts of avenues can be tried to make something work. But at the end of the day, the bigger picture has to be to deliver something that's good for everybody and good for the town. Because I think when we deliver that, that will also spin off and help all sorts of other parts of the town. And it's not something that's easy. It doesn't happen overnight, especially in the current, you know, retail climate. Hi.
I wonder if you could comment on the success of the Street Angels scheme that we get.
They've been brilliant. I mean, I understand. I mean, I haven't been out with them myself. I did go out with the police many years ago, and I was shocked about the high street and the activity on the high street at the time. And I understand from what I've read and heard that the Street Angels helping people has been very good. I don't know. Has anybody heard anything else? You're a Street Angel. There we go.
These have got a few.
Yes.
I've been out with them. They were fantastic.
Well, you would do, Paul. Yeah.
I'm saying it's the chair of our steering committee, so it's not right. Really the best to speak, but it's a very good partnership between the police and the church.
Sure. No, I think it's brilliant,
still,
you know.
I
mean, the other thing just on that front, many years ago we put in a policy called a cumulative impact policy, which we've relied on to limit the number of bars and clubs on the high street. We can't close the ones down that are there unless they do something terribly wrong, but we have been able to limit any further growth. There was a few years ago an application to put one above, what's the pub on the corner?
The Goose.
And the guy that was doing it was so confident, he actually started the work. Because under planning grounds, we couldn't refuse him. But actually under licensing grounds and using the cumulative impact policy, we were able to stop it. And I think that's something that's quite important, and not people know about it. Are there any other...
What's happening on Whitehill Farm?
On Whitehill Farm, I understand that the developer might finally be getting going sometime later on this year.
The fences are coming down.
The trouble is, you know, there's a lot being done there. They did a lot, the planners did a lot to actually make sure they were going to do what they were supposed to do, but it's a constant dialogue with them, absolutely constant. The developers had other companies and different things, and it's a very difficult one. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, it will be a good facility if everything's done as it should be.
With treasurer's hat on,
yeah.
Do we have any money in dodgy banks?
No, we don't. That's not to say that today a bank isn't dodgy and tomorrow it might be, of course, because this is a moving feast all the time. We've actually, we had money in Iceland. We followed policy with the rest of, we were advised to go into Iceland at the time because of the return. We've now actually got most of that money out and it's still coming out.
And the Landesbank.
Yeah. Glitnir as well. So that's coming out, so that's good. Also, we have a treasurer's report, we're advised on where we should put our money. One thing a few years ago was collared deposits, which give you a range of return. We weren't using it at the time. Went to a particular meeting where found out there was another couple of councils doing this, and I said, "Oi, why aren't we doing this? We can get a better return." And suddenly, we were getting a much better return on that. But it's still, you know, it's tinkering. The amount of money we get from our investments are so small compared to how it used to be. We've had to try and plug that gap elsewhere.
Most of our money is invested in building societies.
Yes, it's in AAA or, you know, whatever we're advised to do. Because at the end of the day, it's the public purse and we can't take risk with it. The other thing we are looking at is if we can invest in property, say, which will give us return, or part of something we're doing, which is a reasonable return, especially if it's, you know, blue chip tenants and that sort of thing. Very interested in doing that. But again, so is everybody else.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more?
Yeah.
There's two things.
Yeah.
About the rail links and the possibility of main line, and where's Whitehall Farm?
Where's what? We've spoken about Whitehall Farm. Sorry? Where is it? Down King's Ride. On the right. Down towards where the army housing is, or the ex-army. And it's right adjacent to the special protection area. So although the developer thought he could put housing there, there's no way on this planet he's ever going to put housing there. So there we are. Yeah, the rail link. Okay. This is another one that's been going on forever. I was at a meeting a couple of days ago where we were discussing various aspects of Frimley and the area. And in fact, it appears that the Sturt Cord might still be required, which we own, which is a link to the Woking line, that is still a possibility. The main issue is having space at Waterloo up the other end and sort of getting rid of the Fun Express and all that sort of thing, and using the lines, using the platforms properly. Because I think there's a few there, aren't there, Dave? You've done a lot of work on this, which aren't being fully utilised now, which were used for the European...
The international
one. Exactly. So, again, that's something... Jenny Rickard, who's now head of regulatory for us, said that she's looked at how others have delivered these things, and it's just by every single opportunity going railway link, railway line, railway link, railway line, every single time. And it's the only way we can try and get some progress on that, because there are thoughts to do the train station to improve that. No doubt it will have to be facilitated with some residential to make it work financially and all that type of thing. But at the end of the day, if we can have a decent railway service from Camberley, it would make a massive difference to everybody. And it's certainly something we'd like to, but it's not in our gift. So all we can do is lobby and lobby, and Camberley Society, please, lobby and lobby. And between us, we might get somewhere with it. But it does take an awful long time.
Can you? Please.
Yes, surely.
I'm a town bobby in Camberley, so I get to do quite a lot of issues.
Yeah.
And one of the main issues was kids hanging around Park Street where the concrete benches were.
Yeah.
Instead of a news agent.
Yeah.
Week after week in the summer, people would bring up and say, there's loads of kids being around drinking and eating and being paid. So I would say, in meetings that I go to, Camberley needs benches.
Right.
Just get rid of them.
Right.
Say, the kids hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
They keep getting knocked back. Well, I've never had a real reason for it. Do you know why it might be?
Probably because it's part of the street furniture and somebody decided it looked nice there and all the rest of it. But the other thing I'd throw back at you on that one is there's also a litter bin there with something on top where I have personally seen several times people with cans of drinking, smoking there. I've actually gone into the council, into the police there, and I've said, look, there's people there not doing what they should do. can you please go down there? And I've had to chase to find out what went on after that, and I've been told, oh, there wasn't anybody there. Well, I've seen them more times than I care to mention. So it's people buying cheap drink in a store, presumably, sitting there, standing there, having a chat and a smoke, and, you know, it just doesn't look good, does it? And as much as the benches are bad for kids, obviously putting the green on there to stop the skateboards, because they'll fall over. So there's kind of improvements, but yeah, that hasn't actually come back to me at all at any time. Is it to you, Ken? No. About... Well, yes, I think it's very much... that's part of communication, isn't it, really? Yeah.
I would just say that I don't honestly believe that taking those benches away would stop the problem.
Mm.
I really don't think that. And I think that from a resident's perspective, I think those benches enhance the visual appearance of the area. So I, for one, would be against that personally.
Yeah. They do look nice, and it is good for that. But what I've done now, and I say, why are you having around it?
It's not going to push the problem somewhere else, by me.
I think, I mean, you've also had problems in the park, haven't you, in the past, and you still probably do from time to time. There we go. But again, the one thing I hadn't mentioned, actually, was that the county are looking at plans to change the library, to build a new library, and the idea then is to bring the park down towards Knoll Road so you can actually see the green vision through and get a better vision into the park. Also to improve the obelisk, which, you know, used to be 100 foot taller, I understand, but, you know, it's a shame that it's left as it is. So that's another area, and that needs to be all cleaned up. These things, there are funds from developer contributions already that can go towards helping to do all that sort of thing. But obviously the big one is the library being moved and paid for to move down. So the dates of that, I wouldn't know. Again, it's not in my gift, but I think that would help to improve how all that works, because you'll be able to see what's going on up there just walking along Knoll Road, you know.
You would still have a library in Kent.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Richard, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Spending your time.
Thanks a lot.
And, you obviously were popular for the questions.
Very good. Thank you. Thanks.